This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I hope they can see the unity that we modeled and replicate that and understand that we weren't just taking up space, we were making space for the future. And for me, like Gail said, this wasn't a ride, wasn't a destination. It was a journey, and it was a supernatural one. And my journey has always been about love and belonging. And I think that we have all felt that sometimes we weren't worthy or we didn't belong, and in certain ways, no matter all the accolades, no matter all the studying, no matter anything. And I think today we all said it, like, we belong here.
Oh, watch out, Joe.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
All I can take away from Katy Perry's 10 minutes in space is that if she could do that much to save the world, she should have done it sooner. Joe Concha, welcome back to the show. Fox News contributor, author of The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, which is coming out this month. What do you make of this whole space travel by all women? It's a big deal.
Yeah, let's see, Annie. It's now 26 past the hour, mm-hmm. and we're going to do this interview for about 12, 13 minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. That interview that we're about to do, okay, this coming up, will be longer than the entire flight. You got Gail King, you're going to have to be something Buzz Aldrin, all right? 11 minutes. I mean, what can you do in 11 minutes? I know I can't do in 11 minutes. Wink, wink. Ah, the wife is laughing. Stop it. Back in 2006, it was different. Anyway, the point is, you get it. This is a media creation, totally overblown.
Yeah.
Everybody's annoyed by these people. What can I say?
I want to hone in on that. This is super annoying. She just said something like, you know, amidst all the accolades. And it's like, shut up. I don't even know why they... I don't have a problem with Katy Perry. I just don't care about her enough. But why are we being told, you know, in a world where... A political world where Joe Biden is just on stage talking to people and saying, we've never been this divided. That was the whole thing he was sold to the American people, was to provide unity. And now at the end of his term, we're more divided than ever. So what could we do? Let's send Katy Perry to space and see if that fixes it.
Right, exactly. Or Gail King to space, who only went on vacation with the Obamas. She's, but I'm a very serious journalist. Hey, Brock, pass the keel and the salt, okay? Unbelievable. So it looked good in the pictures. If they landed on the moon, then I'm impressed, right? They played a little golf up there, collected some samples. But this was just like a flight that just happened to go a little higher than your average airplane. And we're talking about it. So I guess it means something, but it costs a lot of money for nothing, right? It didn't produce anything.
Not that I know of. The thing about it that annoys me, if Bezos wants to do this and send them up there, okay, fine. But I just don't understand where these people think that when they come back that it's going to somehow... What did she say something about? We're not taking space, we're not taking up space, we're making space. And it's just like, I feel like in 2025, probably due to COVID and how accessible everybody became through social media, do celebrities have influence in this way anymore in 2025?
No, because it's a great point around social media. They've lost their aura, right? I mean,
mystery,
you would see a celebrity, like maybe show up on like Johnny Carson, for example, that you'd see him, and that's when they're being themselves or outside of a character. Then you wouldn't see him again for another like 6 months, a year, right? Now I got to hear and read every inane thought that goes through every celebrity's mind, and it's just like, anytime anybody speaks, the more they speak, it's probably going to be the less impressive they are. So yeah, they lose the aura. I always like find people who don't have social media accounts to be still very interesting. You
right.
know, I don't think Charles Barkley has one. So that's why I'm like, okay, when Chuck's on TV, I'll stop and listen to what he has to say. I mean, I agree with it half the time, but he's not sharing everything like a Stephen A. Smith type of guy. So I guess that's where I'm at on that.
Oh,
social media
is. Yeah. Tell me about the Stephen A. Smith thing. I want to go there because he's like, if nobody else is going to step into this, then I'll do it if I have to. I'm willing to take on that task. I guess Donald Trump kind of said things like this along the way, but he was a businessman. He managed huge amounts of money and grew businesses. What are Stephen A. Smith's qualifications?
Well, let's see. Played college basketball for a bit, then he blew out his knee, I believe. Then he graduated. Then he's just worked in sports journalism ever since, whether it be in print, whether it be podcast or radio, whether it be now on television, where he just got a $100 million contract from ESPN, which is amazing considering ESPN's just firing people left and right and asking people to take pay cuts, and then they give one guy $100 million. I think that the argument is made that, well, Trump was a celebrity and Stephen A. Smith's a celebrity and you have to be a celebrity in order to win now. No, Trump, to your point, ran businesses. He was an executive that managed people and knew how to get things done. And he's talked politics his whole life, by the way, particularly when it comes to trade and tariffs. That's Trump I'm talking about. Stephen A. Smith just started talking about politics like 5 minutes ago. And I guess that makes him feel like he's qualified, but this is Howard Stern written all over it. And what I mean is, for your younger listeners, back in the 90s, Howard had announced that he's running for governor, and he even got on the Libertarian ticket. And then when push came to shove, a couple of months before the election, of course he dropped out. And he said it was because he didn't want to disclose his financial records.
Right.
But you knew it was going to happen all along. He just rode 3-4 months of publicity. And people had him on the air all the time. And now Stephen A. Smith, who do I see on ABC's This Week last week with Jonathan Carl, former White House correspondent, president? Oh, it's Stephen A. Smith talking about his possible presidential run 45 months before the next election. So this is all farce, and we should treat it as such. But our media will go for the quick ratings, for the quick soundbite, and you're going to see Stephen A., probably with Margaret Brennan next week, and then on CNN with, the Abby Phillip probably on that panel yelling about something. And he's going to milk it for all it's worth, and his brand will be bigger. But in the end, he's not running. Of course he's not running, because why would he? Why would you leave $100 million at ESPN to talk about sports when you're not going to be president of the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's spot on. I do think I think there is an interesting contingent to the at least one eyebrow raise towards a Stephen A. Smith discussion around being the president, which is he's criticized both sides. And he has been somebody who has come out and criticized the Democrats, before the election, he was willing to criticize what the Democrats have to say. So I feel like the one thing he brings to the table is maybe a little more of a connection to the average American voter. I don't know if that's enough to run the free world, but I do think the Democrats could maybe take a note out of the popularity that Stephen A. Smith has in that regard and stop being so crazy, crazy far left progressive.
Great point. I think the problem is, while he'll appeal perhaps to the average voter, because, he does criticize both sides. He says Democrats are far too woke, that they don't have leadership right now, that they keep swinging at bad pitches as far as every single policy that Trump puts forward they have to oppose, even if they once supported it. The problem is that doesn't get him the nomination. And what we've seen is the Democratic nomination is a fixed fight. In 2016, WikiLeaks dump showed that Bernie Sanders, absolutely, the DNC was going to make sure that he was not the nominee. And you may remember during the convention that year, I think it was in Philadelphia, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the DNC chair, she literally had to step down as DNC chair because of all these emails showing that she was clearly, and the DNC was clearly favoring Hillary, and they wanted Bernie out. And sure enough, they got what they wanted eventually. Then in 2020, Biden loses Iowa. He comes in fourth place, comes in fifth place in New Hampshire. And then suddenly the C's part and all these candidates drop out and Biden's the nominee. Right. Remember that? Like it came out of nowhere.
Bizarre.
Right. They made it to him against Bernie. And then 2024, they literally installed Soviet style Kamala Harris as the nominee. So that's in 2028, Stephen A. Smith's not going to sniff the nomination because the party elders are going to make sure that an outsider who actually criticizes the party ain't getting anywhere near that.
Mm. Well, I want to ask you a little bit. We're speaking with Joe Concho right now. Wherever the Democratic Party is right now, wherever the Republican Party is right now, we're seeing the Trump DOJ push back against Letitia James. We're seeing, I think it was Boasberg, filed some sort of contempt order against the Trump DOJ or the Trump administration. This is elevating. The lawfare seems to be elevating. I'm interested in your comments on the Letitia James suit, the mortgage fraud from the Trump DOJ. Do you think that's a worthy effort for the Trump administration to be engaging in?
Well, when you look at the evidence, it's just hilarious. It's got a very Ilhan Omar feel to it, where you have Letitia James apparently said that she was married to her father. In other words, that her father, in order to, I guess, establish a false residence in order to, like, gain favorable loans over XYZ. I still got to read over, like, the brief.
Right.
But it's pretty damaging. And I guess it's like a fair turnaround karma kind of thing. It does feel like revenge, sure, but if she broke the law and did basically what she accused Trump of doing, well, these are her rules, right? Yeah. So now she created this precedent, and she's got to live with it. And again, the evidence is pretty damning right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. The president, former president Joe Biden, came and spoke at an event, and I was thinking about playing this on the air, but it's not really good for radio because you got to see it to believe it. The music's playing.
Yeah.
He's starting his speech. I mean, the dissent continues. It's very obvious that he hasn't bounced back in retirement and is living this new life. He still has his tone changes where all of a sudden he goes into angry Joe. I wondered what your thoughts were. You've literally written a book about Joe Biden talking about all of this. What did you think about what you saw from this most recent speech?
I think Democrats must have been horrified when they saw him walk back out onto that stage. And to your point, the music is blasting. Clearly, he's supposed to be there waving and soaking in the applause. And instead, he's just like, thank you very much, everybody, for being here. And you can't hear a word he's saying because the music is blasting, right? So, yeah, a couple things to unpack on this one, because I just actually talked about it on Outnumbered. Can you imagine paying to see Joe Biden speak? Like, I'm going to fork down $100 to see that guy, right? I'd rather see Snow White. Like, seriously, like, that would be the option.
You are the only one, maybe, but yeah, that's a good standard. Does he get paid? Does he make money to do that event?
Oh, yeah. That was definitely for a paid speech.
And what, like,
no doubt.
Why would a Democrat entity bring him in right now? What is the value in what Joe Biden brings to the table? I think every time he's seen, it's hurtful to the Democrat Party.
He still has the title of, you know, former president, former vice president, right? Former senator, whatever you want to say. So I guess, yeah, that will attract some people, I suppose, who may be nostalgic for his presidency. I don't know who those people would be, because Democrats are even horrified by what he did to the party. And basically what I mean by that is that he should have stepped down in 2023 and allowed them to have a normal primary where undoubtedly Kamala Harris would not have gotten the nomination. And maybe they could have won that election, even though I think any Democrat that would have run, the brand was so broken and Trump was so strong that it wouldn't have happened. So, but yeah, he definitely did it for money, because you think about the revenue streams from Ukraine and Russia, they've kind of been shut off now through Hunter Biden. So he needs the money, I suppose. But in the end, Democrats resent Joe Biden. They don't want him anywhere near a stage. They want him back in the beach or down in the basement, because he is a reminder of everything the Democratic Party had failed at in 4 years and why Donald Trump is president again. But then again, Annie, I guess he can run in 2028. And with the bench being AOC, Cory Booker, and Jasmine Crockett, and don't cut it out yet.
Man, you'd have to rewrite your book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, because if Joe Biden wins in 2028, that will trump the Trump comeback. Your book
most
is coming out.
Comeback ever.
Yeah, just cross out greatest and write horrifying. Your book's coming out April 29th. Are you excited about the release?
Oh, God, yeah. It's really getting some good buzz now. Getting booked in a lot of places, this show included as well. And I'm going to be seeing the president next week at the Easter egg roll at the White House. And he loves the cover. He's told me he did.
Great.
Like the McDonald's photo that you get with it. And I just think it's one of the greatest stories ever told, not because I wrote it, but just because what we witnessed from June of 2024 right through the election is the craziest news cycle you could ever possibly imagine. And all the things that Trump had overcome to win, it really is the greatest comeback ever.
Yeah, it's American history, and it's great that you have cataloged it there in that book. Coming out April 29th, I want to know who the Easter Bunny is at the Trump Easter egg roll. I want to know if it's still current.
They want me to do it, to be honest with you.
If you do, we want to know ahead of time, that's for sure.
All right, done deal.
Joe, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Annie. Have a good one.
You as well. Bye-bye. Joe Concha, the greatest comeback ever inside Trump's big, beautiful campaign. He's a Fox News contributor, of course. You can follow him on X at Joe Concha TV. He's a great follow. He covers, he really keys in and focuses on what the media is doing, which I appreciate, because he watches certain media outlets that I don't then have to, because I can see the things that he clips and highlights. It's kind of how we all consume a lot of the media that we do each day, right? In news feeds. Let's take a quick break. Ryan, we Wiggins back in studio with us in just a second. In the 2 o'clock hour, we don't always have guests in the 2 o'clock hour, but I'm very excited about Kristen Neal, who is the president and CEO of Greenway Therapy right here in St. Louis. You can go to begintalking.com to learn more about her as a licensed professional counselor. Therapy right now is an interesting world with the challenges that are brought into the conversation, into the therapy room, and how therapists are addressing a lot of the concerns that people have. We're going to speak with Kristen Neal about that at 2:05, and we want you to send us your thoughts and questions before we head into that interview as well. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins back in just a minute.